It's great to be able to preach out of Corinthians. As you know, my son and I split the time. And if he didn't split the time, it would be very hard for me at almost 68 and have an open heart surgery and diabetes and sleep apnea to be able to do this. But I'm able to do it, and my son, and we split it. And this time, I've been doing 2 weeks and 2 weeks. Sometimes we do 3 weeks and 3 weeks. It's all according. This was to make it fit to come back to the Day Spring graduation. So today it's not how much we know, but how much we sow. And point one is, if born again, can you sin? And I want to read you one of the three verses today that we're having. I want you to get this as we go through Corinthians. Now, if you're never reading your Bible, you never read your Bible, you're going to get hard as a Christian. If you read your Bible, you'll stay pliable and soft, and it really does help you. Now, prayer goes without saying. That has to be done too. Now, here it is in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Do you see that? Do you see that? Well, I just read the wrong verse, so I guess you don't see that. See, I study ahead, and this is the last one I just studied. So I made a goof. Not my first one. I thought, you know, that doesn't sound right. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. It's pretty powerful. It says nothing out of marriage is right. It talks about heterosexually. It talks about homosexuality, both women and men. It's wrong. Now, friends, anything out of marriage is wrong. Period. Period. And you say, well, I was born a certain way, I had a certain gene in my brain, therefore, I can't help. Oh, yes, you can help. You cannot believe the Word of God and believe that you were born a certain way and you were born to sin against God. Impossible. You can't say, well, I just have to have a lot of sex and I don't have to be in marriage. No, you can't say that. It's impossible to say that and believe the Word of God. Why does God do that? Because God knows that only in marriage is it good and safe. Only way it is. Now, not a child if you're not in the right family, if you don't have the right inheritance. You know, sometimes you're born in a family. Now, if you were born into my family, no one in my family has ever had a dime. My mother, when she died, she left a total grand total inheritance of $400. And we were fortunate to get that much. How about your other relatives? None of them. Why? I don't know why, but I wouldn't trade my family for all the money in the world, because they both, my parents, loved me. That's worth more than any amount of money. I had one time, we had a guy we were helping. Now, this is not Dr. Citron, because Dr. Citron is not this way at all, but a person over in India, and he wrote a letter because I didn't support him anymore because I found out that he wasn't a Christian, but he was a Hindu, but he was going around getting Christian money. So I quit supporting him. And he wrote a letter, and he said, Dr. Scudder is a worthless man because he has no money of his own. All the money he has is in the church, and that made me a worthless man. You know what? I was so proud of that letter. I said, send it to everybody. Send it out, because I want my money in the church. Amen? I want it in the church. You know, our great righteousness from ourselves, and in Isaiah 64:6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, as we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You know, when Lordship salvation people say, if you're saved, you'll serve. And they almost act like you have to clean your life up before you get saved. And it really confuses people. It really confuses people. I heard of a person recently, and they went to a church, and they thought they were saved, but this church got them so confused that they started thinking they're not saved, and went through highly emotional times in their life, and about wrecked their life. Because some preacher got up and didn't preach the truth. But on our best day, our righteousness before God's righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. On our best day, friends, there's not any of us that can't trust Christ and can't get saved. Not any of us. Now, we can't fool God. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He gives life. See, God knows everything we're going to do. But some people don't even worry about what God knows. They don't want someone else to know. They don't want their parents to know. They don't want their spouse to know. They don't want their grandparents to know. They don't want anybody to know, but God knows. Always kind of fooled me and made me wonder. You know, I had 6 Methodist churches before I went to Bible. How could you have 6? Well, I had 1 at one time, and then I had 5 Methodist churches at another time, at the same time. And I'd preach Sunday morning twice at 2 churches, Sunday night at 2 churches, and then Wednesday night at another church, and we'd rotate. And they had that rotation down. I never went there without ever being right, because they had it down and all the people had it down. Well, we had 1 church, I don't even remember the name of it, and everybody in the congregation, every single person would get up and be the choir. There wasn't 1 person that wasn't in the choir. Well, we had a whole lot. Now, I'm not trying to single out smokers, because gossip is a lot worse than smoking, okay? I'm not trying to. But I said something about smoking. And I walked out, and this guy was smoking, and he saw me come, and he put his cigarette in his pocket. And my old nature is such that I just started talking to him. I saw it coming. I saw the smoke coming out. I saw the flames start. Now, you said he could have been seriously hurt. Yes. But I had fun. And then he took off running like you have never seen. And he got over to the little pump and put the fire out. Oh, man, that was just one of the glorious days of my life. Oh, it was fun. But believe me, a person that gossips a lot worse. I'm not trying to single it out. I've got things in my life probably a lot worse. But boy, I tell you, we have to be so cautious. God knows everything. Everything. Do you know someday the non-Christians are going to be judged at the great white throne judgment? And they'll be cast into their positions in hell. The Christians will be judged at the Bema Seat of Christ, and they will get what they've done in their body, good or bad. We need to do that. We need to do that. There was recently a person in our church that just can't totally stop at a stop sign. They slow down. They look both ways. And I think they're very safe. But they just can't stop. You know, I was taught when I took my driver's test that you're supposed to stop and count to 3, 1001, 1002, 1003 before you start. I do that. I really do that. Now, this isn't the one I'm talking about, but my daughter-in-law cannot do that. Karen Scudder, here's how she stops. As she's slowing down, 1001, 1002, and she gets tickets occasionally. But there is another person in our church which will go unnamed, and he would never stop. And the cop, first time, gave him a ticket. He had to pay the ticket. The very next day, didn't stop again. He said, yes, but I'm slowing down. I just not stopping. third day in a row, person in our church that's sitting here right now, in this very building, got stopped for the third time. Same cop, and the cop was fuming. The cop took him out and had a little switch, and he's hitting him on the head. Now, do you know the difference in slowing down, or do you want me to stop? The guy said, stop. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Now, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but it's the guy that got engaged today. That's not true. It's not anybody in the church. But anyway, it did happen. It did happen. Do you know the difference? Well, we're going to be judged. You know, did you ever repent? The Lord is near. Remember those signs? See Rock City. Y'all remember those signs going down south? How many remember? Boy, didn't that drive you crazy? I never went to Rock City. I said, I'll never go to Rock City. I hate Rock City. I don't even know what Rock City really was. I never went there. I did go to Wall Drugs once. I didn't want to, but that's the only place you can get gas out there. So you have to see Wall Drugs if you're out there in the West. But we all have excuses not to follow the Word of God. Oh, we have excuses. Even though the Word of God is super clear, it's as clear as you can be. The Word of God is totally clear. Then why can't we follow it? We just don't. We know what it says, but we think that we have excuses. And Lord, I didn't do this because of circumstances in my life. But when you stand before the bema seat of Christ as a Christian, there'll be no excuses. Did you know the difference in slow down and stop? Did you know that difference? It's not how much we know, it's how much we sow. Do you know the difference? Point two, if you love money, can you get to heaven? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You say, no, wait a minute. Everybody has stolen something. Everybody has been covetous. Maybe everybody hadn't been a drunkard. Maybe not. You know, y'all ready for me to tell that Bob Steele one, right? You know, Bob still gave me something I think kind of profound. He said, you know, if you're a smoker, you can still buy cigarettes. He said, if you're a drunkard, you can still buy another pack of beer. But he said, if you're a tattoo person and you tattoo everything you have on your body, you can no longer tattoo anymore. Now, I don't know what that has to do with anything. But that's what he said. But here's what he did. Y'all want to know what he did? We call him Catfish Bob now. We were out, and you know, Bob counts everything. If he catches a stingray, he calls it a fish. If he catches a catfish, no person in Florida, now I understand, I like catfish in fresh water, but you don't like catfish in the ocean. They're not edible. They're poisonous. And he counts catfish. No person in their right mind counts catfish. Well, I'd had a day that was not our best day, and I have this little 16-foot boat, and we have a lot of fun with it. I hadn't caught anything. I'd caught some catfish, and if I catch them, Bob doesn't count them. And it was just a bad day. I said, well, Bob, we got to the dock. I said, throw a shrimp in off the dock. I bet you'll catch some. Well, he threw it in. It was a nanosecond. He had this fish, and he's fighting it. And it's a catfish. It's not even a big catfish. It's about this big. And it nicks him on the arm. Now, I have caught thousands of catfish. I've never been nicked on the arm. But Bob can't help himself. He got nicked. So now he's mad at the catfish. And he throws it on the dock. This big man is now stomping the catfish. with his tennis shoes. And the top fin goes through all the way to his foot. And the blood is gushing like a stuck pig. Have you ever seen a stuck pig? Well, if you haven't, you don't know what I mean. But if you have, you know what I mean. And my wife's hollering, help me, get him up. I said, let him die. If you're stupid enough to stomp on a catfish with tennis shoes. And he says, well, it threw my tennis shoe and my insert. I said, but your insert is made of rubber too. And so we get him up and, oh, man, I want to kill him. And then we have two pet pelicans. They're really nice. One of them is Charlie. And Charlie smelled the blood. So Charlie and the other one, which I haven't named, went after the dock, and the blood was just all over it. I mean, it looked like we'd had a triple murder. And that pelican took one look and one whiff of that blood, and those pelicans were in the water. They didn't want anything to do with Bob's blood. So we made sure, and we sanitized it. We made sure, and he was okay. But I had moments of wanting to kill Bob. Just let him die. I called Marilyn. Marilyn, he's stuck. He's bleeding. Yes or no? She said, let it bleed. Anyway, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to have it. Not going to happen. We just talked about last time I preached, not my son, but in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5, that the Corinthian in that case was going to go to heaven, even though he had one of the worst sins that even the world doesn't understand. His father's wife, 99 9/10, it was his stepmother. But he was still saved. He was still saved. And now these verses say, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven. Wow. Wow. None of these people will inherit unless what? Unless they're covered. Because no one's going to go to heaven. Friends, if you take these two verses to say that if you do these things, you're not going to heaven, I got news for you. No one's going to go to heaven. Because everybody does. Maybe not gross, terrible, but maybe gross and terrible. You say, well, I'm going to heaven. Well, I do believe a lot of people are. These people still had abominations in their life. Why did he say this? Because he's trying to tell these Christians to start living like Christians. He's saying the ones that aren't saved that do this aren't going to heaven. What's he saying to them? You're saved, and you're acting like this. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't act like that. Don't act like that. You sow what you reap. You sow what you reap, not only in your own lives, but in your children's lives. If my son or daughter had once seen me put sports over Christ, you know, last Sunday night, the University of Kentucky was playing, and I was downstairs about 15 after 5, I said, I'm turning this thing off. I don't care. I have too many important things to do, and I left my phone down. I didn't want to look at it. After the service was over, right before the meeting, I thought Pastor Dave would help me. I said, did Kentucky lose? He said, I haven't looked. He had his smartphone, and he didn't look. David, I'll remember that forever. I thought, well, Pastor Dave will say, but he didn't. So I waited until after the meeting. I went down and I pushed my phone button. And I have news alerts. Kentucky beats. Oh, that was good. I mean, who would have ever thought that the University of Kentucky had 8 losses would be in the finals? I don't say they're going to win the finals. I would never say that. I don't know. But compared to last Sunday night, there's no comparison. Last Sunday night was more important. Yes, I still had an interest. Yes, I have fun watching sports, and I have a lot of fun when they're a 1-point win. against Wisconsin, especially thinking of Chaplain Howe. Lived in Kenosha. That's why you're... Boy, that's bad, isn't it? Not living in Kenosha, but living in Kenosha makes you support the University of Wisconsin. I know someone in Kenosha that likes Kentucky. Anyway, do you ever have, you know, you think that people know, but God doesn't know. You know, my wife and I, we went out on a walk yesterday. We went to a forest preserve, and I thought, well, this would be great. And I wore this stupid idiot hat, red, bright red, and it says world's greatest grandpa. Now, there's nothing wrong, and it's true, but it's pretty braggy. And I said, there's not a chance that we'll meet anybody at this place. Now, I'm not going to say names, so everybody relax. But the first, we sat at a bench, and the first person is on a little motor scooter with a dog bigger than a horse. And I said, wow, that's interesting. There's a person in the church that's in here right now. I'm not going to tell. The very next two people were also from Day Spring Bible College. And they kind of look at the hat and they look down. World's greatest grandpa's bright red hat. But you know the moral of that story? You can't get away from people, but you definitely can't get away from God. You see that? I hope you can see that. I do. And that couple from Day Spring were so much in love as they walked by. I don't even know if they noticed. No, they talked to us. Just kidding. But the great tragedy of sin is that what the parents do in moderation, the children will do in excess. And we're always reminded, don't you wish you could just forget your past life? Don't you do it? But we have things remind us occasionally. But friends, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Now listen, point three. Have you ever been washed completely clean? 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Okay, I want you just to read these six words with me at the beginning. 1 Corinthians 6:11, the first six words. Just right now when I say the word and, I want you to repeat it and do the whole thing. And such were some of you. But they've been washed. Man, I tell you, I've had people bring me these other two verses and they said everything I teach is wrong and they didn't even know verse 11. I have fun with that verse. But that's what people do and that's what people say. And such were some of you. We must ever be careful what we sow. What we sow. How many of you believe it's more important to sow than it's what we know? How many of you believe that? How many of you really believe the kids that never fall into sin, never go off the trail, are better off than those that go into gross sin and come back? I promise you it's better for those that never sin. It's never right to do wrong to do right. And we always should do what's right. We may be able to hide our sin from our family, from our friends, but we can't hide it from God. It can't be done. There was a thief once, and he took his little boy with him to steal vegetables out of a garden. You say, well, what's the big deal of that? Well, it's a pretty big deal. If you've ever had a garden and you wanted to get and harvest the vegetables. So he goes in, and as he goes in with his son, he looks straight ahead, and he looks to his right, and he looks to his left, and he looks behind him. No one was looking, so he walks in with his son with his shovels to start digging. The little boy said, Dad, 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 you forgot to look up. The guy couldn't steal. He had to leave out of the mouths of children. Boy, that is something sometimes, isn't it? I remember one time asking a lady, we had a revival in one of those Methodist churches, and I went and I was knocking on doors, and I knocked on this lady's door. She said, "Who is it?" And I said, "I'm the preacher. I want to invite you out to the revival tonight." She said, "I can't come. I'm picking peas." Now, I was brash, and I don't recommend you doing this, and please don't. And I hollered in, "You'll be picking peas in hell." Well, that night she came. Oh, it was good. Don't y'all do that. You know, I remember, and I shouldn't do this with Meg, because Meg's such, but she spilled a cup of coffee on her computer that cost $1,000. I call that the $1,000 cup of coffee. So whenever I have coffee around my computer, I always move my computer. Because $1,000 to fix your computer. Now, I shouldn't do this because Doc gets upset about this. And I would too. But I keep thinking about that $1,000 cup of coffee. But once you spill your coffee, there's no way to put it back in the cup. I wish you could. And if I could, I'd even let people drink it. Even if it was on the floor, if I could get away with it. It's said many times that every person in prison finds God. That's not always true. But I was at a prison, and I was on death row, and I will not say the name of the prison, or I won't even give any type of name of the person. But this person was number one for execution. He has been executed. And I was going through the death row, and it's a pretty scary thing. And this man pulls up my book. He says, "Dr. Scudder, I have read Beyond Failure over 16 times. He said, if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. Do I believe this guy could go to heaven? If I told you what he did, you'd be grossed out. But yes, he can go to heaven. Because Christ paid for all of our sins. In Romans 8:17, "And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Are you an heir? Are you not an heir? Are you an heir? Are you not an heir? What are you? What are you? Sow bad seeds, what are you going to do? You're going to reap bad stuff. My son was preaching for Pastor Dave Ralph on Wednesday, and Riley was there, his daughter, and she was sharing. She said, "When I was in school here, I got in a fight with Jamie Darien." I said, "You did?" I mean, he said, "You did?" "Yeah." And I really hit him hard, and I hurt him. And Dr. Scudder walks up. She said, "I thought I was going to be killed." He said, "Why are you fighting Jamie?" And I gave him the reason, and he said, "Good girl, he deserved it." And I got her ice cream. Now, I can't remember doing that, but I'm glad I did something somebody liked. And Jamie sure doesn't like this. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Micah 6:15, "Thou shalt sow, thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and the sweet wine. But thou shalt not drink wine." In Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap correction. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." When you do what God wants you to do, he always blesses. When you don't do what God wants you to do, you're always cursed. You can make excuses, and you can say everybody doesn't understand you. You can do this and you can do that, but I'll tell you one thing, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. You've heard me tell this, but when I was first saved at the University of Kentucky, we started studying the radio Bible class little booklets. And they were so good. They had one on angels. They had one on eternal security. They had one on the blah, 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 blah. So I wrote Radio Bible Class because they didn't charge. And I wrote them and said, send me every book y'all have written, both books and pamphlets. They sent me everything. Stacks and stacks and stacks of books. It never entered my mind that those people have cost. And I never sent them a dime. That's why no one sends it to Victory and Grace. Because of me. You reap what you sow. Amen? Now, those of you who just heard me say that over on television land, remember, I'm repentant. Be consistent with your kids. You know, some of them say, well, I don't want to force religion on. Well, then be consistent. Don't make them go to school. Don't make them take a bath. Don't make them eat vegetables. Let them make a choice. If they don't want to go to the dentist, don't make them go to the dentist. Be consistent. Can you imagine if you told your children they didn't have to take a bath? 95% of them wouldn't. There's some that are naturally like to be clean, but most of them like to be dirty. Most of them don't like to go to bed. Some of them like to go to bed, but most of them don't like to go to bed. You think any kid's going to eat vegetables? You're going to reap. You're going to reap. You're going to reap. Three principles: the seed, the principle, and the harvest. We have to know the principle. We will sometimes reap more than we sow. You wish you didn't, but sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. None but sinners were ever led to Christ. Being justified freely, forgiven, the redemption in Christ. I hope you see it, because it's the truth. It's the truth. Now, I don't know how many of you know you're going to heaven. I'm going to take this announcement and I'm going to fold it. And, you know, it has writing on it. And that means it's sinful because it's not perfect. And I'm going to take this. I'm going to use this Bible, which I read the wrong verses to you today. But I'm going to take this Bible and I'm going to let that represent Christ. And I'm going to let this piece of paper represent sin. None of us in this room have not sinned. And that's what we said. No fornicator, no this, no that, no liar, no stealer, no. Well, none of us could go to heaven, but such were some of you. Now take this. You got sin all over you. You got sin inside you. You got sin beyond sin, beyond sin, beyond sin. And now this Bible represents Jesus Christ. He never sinned. And he finds us in Christ without sin. Do you see that? No sin. He sees us in Christ. He sees us through the blood. And that's why I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm good. There's no good in me. There's definitely no good in Dr. Hal, who lives in Kenosha. There's no good in any of us. Pastor Dave wouldn't even give me who won the game. Some things you don't discuss. See, God sees us, imperfect as we are, without sin. He sees us through Christ. Now look at my right and your left. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why? Because he sees us through the blood. Being born again is when you believe the blood of Christ is enough to get you to heaven, and God now sees you through the blood, and he sees you through Christ. That's why Jim Scudder can go to heaven. No one in the world could believe I could go to heaven. Remember, I shared with you about that secretary of the Methodist Church in Paducah, Kentucky, and she got saved watching Victory and Grace. And she said, I can't believe that Isaac Scudder wasn't saved. But she listened, and she got saved. They were trusted in their works. Would you trust Christ?